Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're talking to a unique physician, a physician who's putting his idealism into practice, because he's not just practicing natural medicine. He's actually becoming a physician farmer. This June, he launched something called Ethos Health. That's spelled E-T-H-O-S. Health. It's a community-supported agricultural product, the first of its kind, I think, in the world, in which medicine is being merged with sustainable agriculture to further people's health. And it's the realization of a lifelong dream by today's guest, internist Dr. Ronald Weiss, who's practiced treating patients in a conventional setting in Hudson County, which is comprises some of the poorest parts of New Jersey. Now he is launching New Jersey's first farm-based practice, which is rooted in the philosophy that the right foods, which are fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, beans, and seeds, are medicine. So he's walking the walk. He's actually he's really doing it. Welcome back. And we invite our listeners to listen to part one, which is important because it kind of lays the groundwork for how Dr. Weiss got involved in this from personal experience in treating his father's cancer. So, Dr. Weiss, tell us a little bit about Ethos Health and how you launched it and what you're going to be offering there.
Absolutely. I'd love to. But before I do that, I wanted to say this. And you don't know this, Dr. Hoffman, but in those in the first part of the podcast, I talked about how my turning point in medicine was taking my father into that office, into that oncologist's office, and seeing the reaction that we were met with when we revealed that he was eating this plant-based whole foods diet. That set me on this current course, and at the beginning of that course, one of the first people I turned to was you. And you don't know this, but okay. As I would drive back and forth to work, I would listen to your radio show. I think to Health Talk, was it called?
Yeah, Health Talk. And there was a previous incarnation of the show, and it was on the same station that we're still on now as Intelligent Medicine, right?
And that was – you were very instrumental in getting me to – getting me over that hump and getting me to think differently about the approach to patients, because you have to understand, I mean, in an academic – traditional medical school academic setting, none of this is – available.
Well, that's great.
So I want to thank you.
Well, thank you.
You played an important role in changing who I am.
Well, thank you. And thank you very much for acknowledging that. And so literally, very literally in this case, I've planted the seeds for Ethos Health and help. You know, look, I got to say that I had similar experiences because it's a lonely path that we trod as practitioners who depart from the standard medical model. And, you know, it's great to have encouragement and to listen to voices who are factual and authoritative and science-based to encourage us to take what is essentially kind of a scary path, which is away from medical conformity, to undertake projects like the project that you've undertaken. You've certainly come a long way from being a naive, idealistic young medical student and young doctor to realizing what is a fantastic dream. So tell us about Ethos Health. First of all, this is a huge thing. This is 348 acres. This is not just like, I mean, I've got a little garden plot, in my home on Long Island, but
it's a very large farm. This farm is a very historic farm. It's a national historic landmark, and it is in a very special place. It is in Long Valley, which is the western corner of Morris County, and the town of Long Valley has 42 preserved farms within it, which is very rare. It is the most intact, agriculturally functioning valley in the state.
Okay, so people who watch The Sopranos and they see that version of New Jersey, no, we're not talking about that part of New Jersey.
We're
talking about very different, because New Jersey is, after all, its motto is it's the Garden State, and it's a really formerly beautiful farmland, much of it now under preservation.
Yes, and once I might add, it was the most productive agricultural state in the United States, far surpassing California.
Yeah, indeed.
Even in the 20th century.
And the school you went to, Rutgers, is actually founded as an agricultural college.
Absolutely.
And they actually have they have a very fine department of botany. I think they're the world's experts on the growing of cranberries. That's one specialty that they have there.
Yep, they have an experimental station in the cranberry bogs in southern New Jersey. And, they do a lot of research there. At this point, much of the research at Rutgers is conventional, and the recommendations are conventional. It revolves pretty much around conventional agriculture. Mm-hmm. There is not a strong emphasis on
organic, natural, non-GMO,
which is what we want to talk about now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, there are
question.
Great parallels to be drawn
between
agriculture and medicine. And I liken our current health care, it's a medical care system. It's not a health care system, because this does not make people healthy. The medical care system we have just sustains people in chronic states of illness instead of relieving them of their problems. So it is a medical care system, and it has great parallels to our agricultural and food systems, the conventional ones. And so what we do on the farm is, just as we are trying to retool and create a new paradigm in the delivery of health, we are trying to do that in the delivery of food, because food is health. And it is our belief that these plant-based whole foods are the most powerful disease-modifying tools that are available to the medical practitioner. And they are especially powerful if they are raised and produced in specific manners.
So let me see if I can get this right. Is that you're an idealistic physician, and one-on-one you get to treat patients, and you apply your methodology. But I think your vision is to take this to a higher level, to make this a revolutionary kind of movement that affects not just individuals one-on-one, but brings the benefits of this this vision to a wider community.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because if you are to start off and believe in the premise that that food is medicine, well, then it's just not about eating these foods. It's about growing these foods. Because if you're not growing the foods in the proper environment, then, you are, just like you are what you eat as a human being, you are what you eat as a plant. So if the plant is being grown in poor soils, in a poor environment, it will not have these amazing flavonoids and other substances which we have identified and identify on a daily basis are cancer killers, are cardiovascular remodelers, and do all these fantastic things that do reverse illness. So to give you an example, many of the beautiful molecules and most powerful molecules that plants have are known as these flavonoids. Botanically, they're called plant secondary metabolites. And what happens is, plants and all organisms in life are designed to be efficient in what they do and what they make. So, there's a reason why these plants make these plant secondary metabolites, all of these flavonoid molecules, and the reason is because they use them to fight pests.
I think the word is phytoalexins. They use the term phytoalexins, which are, you know, you're a botanist. These are plant compounds that are potent antioxidants that seem to help plants acquire resistance to harsh circumstances, stress, pests, bacterial and fungal invasion.
Absolutely. And the plants, they're they're very difficult molecules for the plant to create. You know, if the plant has the basics of nutrition, if they have some water, if they have some phosphorus, if they have some potassium, if they have some nitrogen, you know, the NPK, they'll be able to get by. They'll be able to make leaves.
They'll grow, right.
But, you know, if they have a higher level of support, then they'll be able to make waxy cuticles to protect their leaves against fungal spores landing on them. They'll be able to do other proteins that are of a higher level that will antagonize certain bugs that are chewing on them. But it's these very high level things that you see, like epicatechins and these flavonoids, that there are thousands of them. To date, scientists suspect that there are probably perhaps up to 40 or 50,000 of them. We so far know of about, identified a couple of thousand. So in any event, we know that when plants come under attack, you know, because plants do not have legs, they can't get up and move away from their attackers, they've developed these marvelous systems of defending themselves, staying where they are, and when an attacker comes, they start elaborating these very complex substances. And guess what these flavonoids are? They're actually, many of them are these actually brilliant pigments that you see in the vegetables. They make the, you know, the beets beautifully red, and they make the eggplants, you know, a mahogany black, and they make the grapes, you know, a beautiful burnished red.
So the color is a signature for the goodness. You know, yes. So basically, you don't want to eat bland
Absolutely.
Or white or refined foods because they're bereft of these healthy compounds.
Yes, and so, but the plant will not get the opportunity to make these substances unless they're given certain conditions. So. Those conditions are, number one, they will have to be given the opportunity to fight these enemies. So, in other words, when you go to a field that's planted with broccoli plants, for example, and, you know, it's conventionally farmed and they're spraying pesticides that kill all the enemies that attack these broccoli plants or fungicides, well, the broccoli plant really has no reason to go through the metabolic expense of producing these compounds. They're extremely costly for it to produce, and so it won't. And so the person who's eating that broccoli will not have significant levels of these compounds.
So in effect, the plants have to be somewhat stressed. And actually, this is part of the wine growers' creed, is that the best wines come from areas where there's sometimes abrupt shifts in temperature, little stress, not killing stress, but, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and that applies to plants as well.
Absolutely. And you know, on the other hand, you know, when we put artificial fertilizers in the soil, like, you know, chemical fertilizers, such as nitrogen, you know, the standard fertilizer that conventional growers use, which is, you know, extracted from natural gas, then the plants become lazy. And there's no reason for them to go reaching into the soil and mining these things for themselves, which in itself is an amazing world we're just beginning to understand now. And it's the world of interaction between a plant's roots and the huge, you know, microbiome that exists. We now know, you know, there's been a lot talked about lately about the microbiome, 100 trillion creatures that live within and on human beings. But, you know, it's that much greater in the soil. And basically what plants are doing is they are farming. Plants are farming these individual creatures down in the soil and directing them to go out, again, because the plant cannot get up and walk and get a molybdenum molecule for itself. So it goes and it directs bacteria and fungi, mycelium, to go and transport it to the root hairs for it. So in any event, conventional practices interrupt all of these processes that plants are naturally born to be engaged in.
Well, you sure are fired up about plants. And that's partly because of your botany background. You're really bringing it to the fore in your project there at the Ethos Farm.
Yeah. So so where this all comes down?
Yeah. What's going to transpire there? I mean, are you going to take patients are going to come to your office, and instead of putting them on the exam table, you're going to lead them out into the field, and they're going to pick carrots and broccoli stalks.
Well, we do. Well, many of our CSA members, our community supported agriculture members, they become our patients, and there's a volunteer contingent here on our farm, and the members help engage in the production of their food, so they understand these methods, and they understand what it does for their food, and then we have programs in the community supported agriculture program all year that teaches them how to cook with these foods, their nutritional programs, their botanical programs that explain to them the process of what's going on. There are fitness programs, canning programs on how to preserve this food. So, yeah.
That's fabulous. How can people find out more about this? And those of our listeners who are in the New Jersey area, can they participate?
Absolutely, they can. We have a website. The website is myethoshealth.com.
Also, you have a very nice Facebook page, and I encourage our listeners to go there and like, what is it, Ethos Farm?
My Ethos Health.
My Ethos Health. Okay. So, but there's a Facebook site, and you post new information there all the time about activities there. And
yes.
Also about important issues. I mean, recently I saw some of your posts on a subject that's probably near and dear, or maybe not so near and dear to your heart, the GMO potato.
Yes. Yes.
Coming to a supermarket near you.
Yes. Very frightening, isn't it? Yeah.
What they're saying, though, this is an advancement over nature, because potatoes actually, I mean, they're making it sound like it's a healthier alternative to potatoes, because as we know that potatoes, when cooked or fried, they produce harmful substances, and they've eliminated that from this new improved potato.
Well, yeah, but they produce the harmful carcinogen, which is quite carcinogenic, acrylamide.
Acrylamide, right.
When the potato is fried.
Mm-hmm. Or potato chips, or consume French fries and so on.
Right. Potato chips and French fries are the number one vegetable eaten in the United States. So,
right.
So by doing this, they're encouraging more of this behavior.
So you can have safe potato chips and French fries now.
Right, that won't give you cancer by acrylamide, but will kill you from clogging up your arteries.
That's pretty insidious. So, but okay, in principle, I mean, there's a lot of controversy about GMOs. I happen to be personally concerned and skeptical about the health of GMOs. You're a botanist. Explain to me and to our listeners in brief, because we could do an entire new other podcast on the subject. And what's the problem? It's an advancement. It's okay. We've been hybridizing plants for centuries, and now this is a little bit of a souped up form of laboratory hybridization. We're just tinkering a little with the plant DNA, making it better. What's your answer to that?
The problem is we don't really know what the problem is. I know there are many people who are getting all fired up about this and have different opinions that these weird genes are going to be transmitted through plasmids. You're going to eat them in the corn, and then bacteria in our gut will, genetic material will pass it back and forth between plasmids, and then you'll have E. coli in your gut creating pesticides. No one knows that. It's never been established. We don't really know a lot of what's going on. But the thing that disturbs me is that the whole idea gives me the creeps. And the reason why it gives me the creeps is because intuitively I feel that these methods are not natural. I think most scientists and even medical doctors who are scientists believe in the theories of Charles Darwin, the theories of evolution, and that organisms get to the superior state that they are in by competing in the natural world.
Through natural selection, not human selection.
Mm-hmm. Over eons. Mm-hmm. And you know, these practices defy the natural code of evolution. And just because of that, it feels wrong to me.
Yeah, that's very well said.
It feels wrong to me. It feels, and the other problem is, there was a great thinker and agriculturist, Sir Albert Howard, who did a lot of great writing in the first half of the 20th century. He was one of the founders of the organic movement of agriculture, and he talked about how anytime you take a specific focus tool and you make that tool to kill a certain problem, deal with a problem that you're focusing on, it creates a potential raft of other unforeseen consequences, which often are very negative in their impact. And when he talked about this in the 1930s and 40s, as a doctor, I think, well, that in general, that's how drugs work, mm-hmm. right? And that's how pesticides, which are drugs, work. They're specific allopathic tools that are manufactured to squash a specific problem, but they have not been vetted by the natural process to intercalate with all of the other mm-hmm. biochemical pathways and processes that surround it naturally. And so you will eventually end up into some problems that have been unforeseen.
So another way to say this is it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature, because it's going to bite back in some way.
That's the more articulate way.
Right. Well, you know, to sum up. But, okay, so, you know, obviously, you know, so you have this project, 348-acre beautiful farm in Long Valley. And what's the vision you have for saving the health of Americans and transforming American medicine? Do you envision community gardens and farms across the country that are modeled after your agricultural practice?
Well, we hope so. There are people in the agricultural community who are beginning to, you know, in the organic, sustainable community, who are beginning to champion these ideas. There's an enormous groundswell in informed agricultural in discussion that talks about these things and is promoting it. And what my hope is that, you know, we're working on many fronts. We're working on the agricultural front. We're working on the healthcare front. My hope here is to put them together and then start to get people to think and be mindful about the food they're eating, how it is grown, who is growing it, what is in it, and then how it can change my health. Because I think it is it's not only food, but it is the way that food is grown, which are the major determinants of human health and also the health that surrounds us, the health of our environment and planet.
Well, so, that's a very, very profound statement, very well articulated.
And I hope that this farm becomes a platform to show people. People are always welcome here to come and see what we are doing, to join us, to help us, to volunteer for us, to lose their illnesses, to help us grow food, to eat their food, and to come up with ideas. And that's what our dream is.
Well, that's really fantastic. So, once again, let's repeat our today's Intelligent Medicine call to action vis-a-vis Dr. Ronald Weiss, our guest. What's the website and what are the resources?
www.myethoshealth.com is our website, and the Facebook page is www.facebook.com/myethoshealth.
Well, fabulous. I really want to congratulate you. And, you know, you're certainly someone who has escaped some of the bonds that that tend to demoralize physicians and make them lose their dreams. And you're realizing your dream. And in so doing, you're creating a wonderful example for countless people and for the American medical system, because this is clearly one of the ways in which we can salvage a system that's gone badly awry. So I want to thank you very much for joining us.
And I want to thank you for your kind words.
Okay. Dr. Ronald Weiss, thanks for joining us, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. And make sure you listen to part one as well of today's fascinating podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.